The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much over him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the people to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. The Gospel of the Lord. There was a difference in the ways that the Romans punished people. On the one hand, scourging among the Romans was the common punishment for slaves. And on the other hand, the punishment for freemen was simply thrashing. Still, sometimes the Romans wanted to humiliate and send a message. And thus, some of those who were condemned to death, even free persons, were scourged, as though the sentence they had made them slaves. And this scourging was a prelude to crucifixion. This is part of the context of what's going on in Jesus' own scourging. In Luke's gospel, we see Pilate using the scourging as a means to have some sort of punishment for Jesus, but without having to resort to crucifixion. After all, Pilate seems to think Jesus is innocent. Nevertheless, that's not good enough for the Jews. Here in Matthew's gospel, we see more of a mix of things happening. Pilate's wife says not to do anything to this righteous man, yet we see him inflicting the typical version of the Roman punishment on Jesus, where scourging was a prelude to crucifixion. And thus we can understand that Jesus was being mocked, which is obvious in the next verses after this passage as well, that he was held in no esteem, and that he was being condemned to the fate of a slave. And yet all the while, as St. Paul tells us, though Jesus was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Jesus accepted this cruel fate as a slave. But why? St. John tells us, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins." It was all about love. Being treated like a Roman slave didn't matter to Jesus, because he knew that he was actually free. And suffering didn't obstruct his goal, because he knew that it would bring about the greatest gift for us. In the love flowing out from the Sacred Heart, he embraced this legal slavery so that he could set us free from slavery to sin and death. And this should give us great hope. For even in the midst of the world's attempt to enslave us to its ways, even in the midst of the devil's goal to enslave us for all eternity, our freedom doesn't come in power, money, or pleasure. Rather, our freedom comes in Christ Jesus, who came that we might be free. Free from the temptations of the world, free from the snares of the devil, and free from the slavery of sin and death. Christ's own entrance into the death of a slave and his conquering of that death shows us that with God's grace and when we are united to his passion and resurrection, we too can conquer sin and death. Again, as St. Paul tells us, O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ's scourging, we see his freedom. And in his scourging, we too find our freedom. Lord Jesus, you who became a slave and subject to a cruel scourging and a most painful death, yet still who loved us to the end. We come to adore you, Jesus, and ask that you pour out your graces upon us that we too might know the freedom from the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Please be generous in your love for us, so that we might not only know your freedom in this life, but also for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.